Welcome to the Probate Podcast, where we talk about all the things you didn't know you need to know about probate. My name is Sherry Lund, and I'm so glad that you're here. I want you to understand the process and to know what to expect, because it's going to make things easier and it's going to save you money. And I'm here to show you how. Hi there, I'm back today, and my guest is Melissa Hamilton. She's the owner of Valhalla Organizing, and I'm so glad to have her as my guest. She's going to be talking to us about organizing and what that is for the people that are in the probate community, those that are thinking about downsizing to make that easier during the probate season or after probate happens, when there still may be details to wrap up. So let me tell you a little bit about Melissa and her background. She's born and raised in Renton, Washington. That's outside of Tacoma, south of Seattle. In her 20s, she wanted to see the world. So she became a flight attendant and spent 20 years in the air, happily flying for United. She did domestic and international flights, and she had the time of her life. Now she's living in the Woodlands, and she does this organizing. She started this organizing company. In her spare time, she still loves to travel. She didn't get that bug out of her system yet. She has a husband who is a salvage diver. That's an interesting story. And he allows her to find interesting things around the world, and they share some exciting adventures around that. She likes to get out onto the woodland trails to bike and run and walk. And she says she never turns down a good pizza. So Melissa, I'm super glad that we ran into each other. The whole meeting thing was super fun to get to know you and to chat with you, and now to have you here as my guest. So thank you again for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So imagine that we are walking on the trails, because I don't run anymore, but walking on the trails in the woodlands, and we pass each other. We're standing there with our bottles of water and just chatting. We hit it off, and I say, hey, Melissa, tell me about you. What do you do? And would you lead with your business first, or would you tell me something else first?
I usually just go into, I help busy professionals be more productive so they can focus on the things they enjoy more in life. And who doesn't want that in their life? I think we've all been there when we want to focus more on our life instead of the things in our home that we just get a little bit crazed about. So yeah, then they're usually kind of like, oh, well, tell me more. And organizing is definitely kind of a new and up and coming thing for people. A lot of people don't know what it is and if it's even a thing. But yeah, I just kind of just help chaos and the clutter with people.
Well, it is definitely a thing. And I don't think you have to necessarily be a professional to want to have an organizer in your home. But
right.
So when I think about flight attendants and thinking about what you do now, that has got to be one of the hardest jobs for me, to be on my feet that much, but also have a smile on your face under intense pressure. I mean, crazy things can happen up in the air with people and elements and all of the things. And so what do you bring from that past experience into what you do now that you think makes you a little different from other people that are organizing like you are?
Well, there's definitely on the airplane, there's so many situations that could arise. It could be a pleasant flight and everybody's just so upbeat and happy too. I mean, you might have a medical emergency. I mean, and you are supposed to stay in this zone of always being prepared. Always, I've come into instances organizing where somebody finds something that really means something to them and loses it. And for me, I just kind of need to be punctual, be that light in that turbulence, in that time, in that moment. Just be at center. And even though my heart's racing on the inside, I'm like, okay, I can do this. We can do this together. And that could be tough. But I think that has definitely come over from that world into my personal development organizing, just going through certain situations that can be harder.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And your choice of words there, the turbulence, that is so true, because I mean, we were flying, I'll never forget, we were flying into North Carolina one time in a thunderstorm. And just all of a sudden, the plane dropped and people's drinks went up in the air. And my stomach is like being on a roller coaster. And when we're in turbulent times emotionally, like probate, I mean, this is a probate podcast. Right. And so people are going through having to make really tough decisions and maybe having to downsize and make decisions about things that they have had for 50 years. And now they don't have the space for it anymore. Right. And so it may not be as fast as like an airplane or a roller coaster ride, but it certainly feels like that. Right. So being able to be composed like you had to be in the air. Someone told me one time that just like anxiety can spread in a room. If somebody's anxious, you can feel that. Mm-hmm. If someone is calm, other people can benefit from them being centered and calm as well. So I think that's a really key thing that you would be bringing into your work. So can you tell me how you went from being a flight attendant to being a professional organizer?
That's a great question. After I was a flight attendant, kind of that's all I knew. I mean, that pretty much what I was my whole life. And organizing kind of just slipped through my hands. Years ago, my parents were having a really difficult time with their home and they began to hoard a lot and it just became more and more. I was living here in Texas and my twin brothers back home in Seattle, and we're all very close, but me living in Texas, of course, is a little different. But they were just like, this is just out of control. We've had enough. Like, we need to hire somebody. We need to, and I'm like, okay, getting on the next flight. Let's do this. Well, it was just a little intervention for my parents. I shouldn't say little because it ended up being just horrific for them. I mean, we went in there, especially my brothers are kind of, they're 6'3", 250 pound lumberjack dudes. And they're just like, we've had enough. You have had enough warning, and we are going to go through and get rid of a bunch of things and organize your home because we can't stand anymore. My mom was just perplexed. Like, she was beside herself, just started crying, just got in a corner. And I just was like, oh no, you know, I just kind of was just sitting there watching the whole thing crumble. And it ended up being just a show. Like, we all just left bewildered. I was bawling. My mom was bawling. My dad kind of was like, what's going on around here? Why are you making my wife mad? My brothers just left really upset. I ended up reaching out to a high school friend that I know. She was a psychologist, and she kind of led me in the right direction to get somebody that deals with this type of, I would say, physical mental impairment. And it's very serious. I basically learned that we went in this all wrong. Me and my brothers didn't give them a choice. And she's just like, everything they need to know, they have a choice. I mean, you need to give them options so they don't. So I learned a lot of key components from that. And it took me a good 2 weeks to organize their home. The process wasn't fun or perfect, but we did get through it. I took a lot of before and after pictures. I showed people that and they're just like, wow. I mean, considering the amount that they had, and it's really hard to get hoarders to throw stuff away. I mean, they could have 10 of it. It could be so expired beyond. But you kind of just have to slowly work with it. It takes a lot of patience and time and empathy to deal with that.
Right.
But I'm glad we did it. It did help a lot for them. But it was just kind of sad how it started.
But, yeah. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. It sounds like it was traumatic for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm thinking we all have different levels of, I know my brother and I have different levels of what's considered clean and what would be a hoarding situation and not.
Right.
When your twin brothers are calling you and they're saying, mom and dad have an issue here, did you think, no, y'all are exaggerating? Or had you been up there and you saw this problem developing over time?
Yeah, it definitely, it just does not, hoarding does not happen overnight. Anytime that we kind of approached them about it, she just didn't want to talk about it. It just got shut down. So we were like, oh, you know, you just kind of sweep it under the rug. It got into a point, and I hadn't been in town in a couple of months, that it was just beyond. What happened was they just kept ordering things. And there were so many things that hadn't even been opened yet. And it just got like too overwhelming for everybody. Yeah. So unfortunately, it just came to an explosion, which we should have had it when we noticed something was starting to happen.
Yeah. I'm curious, when you go in as an organizer, what is the term that you use? You don't call them hoarders, Steve. What do you?
Yeah. People who hoard, it's a condition.
Okay.
And they definitely have some mental issues that they do need to discover and take care of. And they usually don't want to. And so that's what's kind of hard. It gets to the point where they're just living in their world and they have no idea that what's going on around them.
Well,
yeah.
So I'm wondering, if you go in and you organize everything, do they start, or I mean, if nothing has changed within them, do they just pick up and start hoarding again? I realize that you're not a counselor, and maybe this is outside of your scope, and you're okay to, it's okay for you to say that.
No, absolutely not. I can definitely speak on my parents And I have worked with other people that board, but I've worked under somebody that actually had teams and specifically went in there to do, which I was very thankful. I wouldn't do it by myself at all. I would have to have a team. But with my parents, it turned more into, and thank goodness I took pictures of a lot of things. I wrote down where things were. And my mom, I know she wasn't too happy about me doing it, but she knew it had to be done. She knew we all need to move on as a family if we want to grow together and be in a loving place. It's not feasible for all of us anymore. But especially a couple of weeks after, she would call me, well, where's that? And I just had my list, and I even left a list for her at home. And it did help. I set up systems for them instead of 5 locations where things were. There's going to be that one location, not necessarily what 5 things are anymore, maybe just 3. You don't have to have 5 cutting boards necessarily, or maybe 3, but it's just certain things that I had to downsize for them. And the systems really help labeling everything and whatnot. So that was good. And my dad took a lot of medications, and within his medications are like piles of bread and cereal boxes. And it's just like, how is he gonna be sure? I mean, there has to be some sort of order here. So I figured out what he took morning, afternoon, night, labeled all that. And it just really helped them to have a system set in place.
It sounds super chaotic. And then you came in and helped to bring order to it. Then they could just maintain it. 100%. So you mentioned that you and your siblings made some mistakes. You had great intentions and you acted on that. And it sounds like the intentions were to do it in a loving way, but then everybody left really distraught and not what you thought. And so what are some of the mistakes that you might be able to share to help someone else that might know someone who is hoarding that may be thinking, gosh, I need to have an intervention?
And there's many facets that you can actually Google just how to help a hoarder. And especially if it's a family member, it's a little tougher because we're a little tougher on our families, of course.
Yeah.
Get educated how to approach it. Because, I mean, every person, family, home are different. So if you know them very well, I would definitely seek a little counseling if you can.
For yourself
on how to approach it. And of course, you're not going to go at it the way we did or my brothers did, which is like, we're going to do this now because we're over it. You can't do that. You can't do that to even... especially your loved ones, but just even a normal person you don't even know. Just, I'm going to come in here. I mean, I have no ill intentions. I'm going to be patient with you. We're going to do this together. And if you're not ready, we'll stop. We'll take a moment. We'll take a day. That's fine. That's always there. Just you don't want them feeling pressure into it.
Yeah. And it's their personal space, isn't it? I mean, this is their sanctuary or this is their home. And I watch these I don't watch them because they upset me. But like some of the shows on HGTV where people come in and they surprise their friend with a trip to Disneyland or something like that for 3 or 4 weeks. And then they come back and, oh my gosh, their kitchen's in the back when it used to be in the front, and they don't have their furniture anymore. And now they have a pool. Maybe they didn't want a pool.
Right. Yeah. And people have done that. I have since educated myself on that. And I remember one of the first things that the gal had said, and I was on a Zoom meeting on it. And she said, that's absolutely, some people commit suicide when they come home. Like if they had no idea, all their things are displaced and misplaced. They don't know how bad their mental state is. It could be very damaging to them. So not a good idea. You want to make sure that they feel like they're in control and you'll be with them every step of the way. They might not like a way that you're pulling apart things and whatnot. So you got to be very in tune too with them.
There's got to be a fine line between if they say, no, I want that there, for you to say, but it needs to go over here. So needs to be some diplomacy there and some leadership on your part of helping them. Well, it's a big deal. What excites you about what you do? What gets you up in the morning and looking forward to the day?
I mean, this might sound cliche, but I absolutely love it. I mean, I really do. I can imagine doing anything else. It's each place is new and different. You're going in and almost designing something for somebody that just didn't have a process and know where things are. And then when it's all said and done and the look on their face, that's just priceless. But I just love doing it. Even as a kid, I've always just kind of like putting things in certain and being a play attendant for so long too.
Oh, yeah.
So it has its challenges, but I love a good challenge. You usually almost always find a way to get through it. It just takes time. That little thing that they don't want moved, but kind of has to be, you just go on to something else and maybe come back to it and they'll have a different mannerism about it.
So how does somebody know when it's time to call an organizer?
Believe it or not, I actually have an organizer myself.
You mean another person?
Right.
You're not talking about like a binder or a...
No, it's an actual physical person. She now lives in Florida, but she has her own professional organizing business down there. And we did swaps on our closet. It's nice to see a different perspective because things that we own we're more attached to. Whereas if I were to go in your home, there's nothing I have an attachment to that I know about.
Right.
So it's kind of
story
nice.
There.
Yeah. It's nice to see that perspective. Now, as far as when you need to call an organizer, when you're just losing time trying to find things, big thing for me, like I've mentioned before, is there's just not one location for a lot of things. The first thing I do is I just start a sort method. Let's say we're doing somebody's kitchen. So I'm going to put everything in a pile that you're going to have and save. So that's the little sort pile. And then you're going to have stuff that you don't want, you don't need, that's broken. And offloading it would be if you donate it. You can give it to somebody else, your neighbor, if you have too much of this or that. There's always an option for that. And then, of course, some things are just not worth keeping and just throw it away. So just section out the things. But if you're just like always tense, you know, in the morning before you leave because you just can't find your keys or something as simple as that, it's time to get an organizer. Because you can set systems in place and you're just not going to even blink when you're looking for something.
Yeah.
You don't know right where it's at.
I'll tell you a personal story. I had my office and I had an idea of what I wanted. So I had my bookcases and I had my things around. But as I got busy, what I've learned about myself is I like to move forward. I'm a creative person. I have ideas. I like to create momentum. And then I have this wake behind me like a boat of all the stuff that I need to file and do, sort and open in mail or whatnot. And so I get these piles that start to accumulate. And so after a while, I was looking around, I was thinking, I need to do something with this. And a month would go by and I still hadn't done anything with it. But now it's starting to bother me because I really do need to do something with it. It kind of puts that pressure on me to do that. Like, Sherry, you said you were going to do something with it and you have it. Like, it's an integrity thing at this point.
But it becomes a nuisance, you know.
It becomes a real problematic for me within myself. And then I'm stressed out. But then it got to the point where I was embarrassed. And I thought, I need to call a professional organizer, but I don't want her to see to the extent that I've allowed my desk to get to. And like, I'm a smart person. I should be able to open the mail and file this stuff away. It's really not about the person or what they're able to do, or they could be a CEO of something or super organized in their business world or whatever, but I can't do it all. So it was super embarrassing for me to finally pick up the phone and call an organizer. And she was so sweet. And she came and she really helped. And she helped me see and think about things that I would have never thought of on my own. And so I'm wondering if there might be somebody out there that's listening, that maybe they came to listen to something about probate or their mom's property or whatever. But now this part is hitting kind of close to them. And maybe they're wondering, what would it be like? Maybe they're embarrassed like I was. I don't know. What would you say to them about what you do and how you approach someone that, I guess it was really shame on my part when I thought, all that stuff gets all tangled up together. Why did I let it go so long? I shouldn't have been.
Right. Absolutely. I think the first step was your step. It is making that initial call. And that was probably the hardest for you. Our jobs as organizers, we go in and just make sure that you're in 100% judgment-free zone. We don't judge at all. We're here to help you. Just dissect the problem, the foundation of where it's coming from. And little by little, we slather it away and we find the root to it. So this organized pile of mail or whatnot, we find a place that's going to look cute, pretty or whatever. And this is, do it daily or every other day. It's just not going to be a burden as it used to. You know, I always show people that I'm very empathetic and it's a judgment-free zone. We're not here at all to snicker about your habits. We all have those habits. Even I do. I mean, like I said, it's just so much easier when you have systems set in place. But yeah, it's hard. That initial call, though, is that first step is the hardest. The second step is just like, I'm here for you and I'm not going to judge you at all.
I guess you get to choose where you want to start, too. So I started with my office. I didn't start with my closet.
Right,
I didn't start with something that's more personal. So starting with that and then seeing how you guys work together and if it's a good fit and
right.
taking the projects in bite-sized pieces maybe. And then if you are working with a family, they've inherited a house that a hoarder lived in, then there's all of that stuff. What would your approach be for something like that?
So the person that was a hoarder, they aren't with us anymore. Usually it's going to be a little easier to get rid of stuff, throw stuff away, donate. That's probably the biggest step. You want to see where they are. And usually they're just like, yeah, get rid of this mail. This newspaper has been here since 1962. That's a huge thing, getting rid of everything. Then you get into the things that you want to keep and whether they're going to be selling the house. And that means you're pretty much going to get rid of everything. But also too, for us as organizers, you're going into a home. You just want to make sure you're not throwing anything away.
I mean, if they don't have systems in place, then there might be a Kroger ad or a Safeway ad or something right next to some important bank statement.
Yeah, you have to fine tooth comb everything. And so I have another separate pile of that, like question marks for you to go through.
But that's a good point. So you don't go through that stuff. The family can make those decisions on those.
Right. I don't throw anything. That could be a big mistake. Fortunately, I didn't learn it through me. It was through somebody else. And it ended up being an expensive mistake. But yeah, I mean, usually there's either like do it for me people or do it with me. And I don't mind doing either or. Just the do it for me. I'm always going to have a pile like, do you really want this? People tend to hang on to their clothes they can't fit in anymore. Clothes that they haven't worn for a while. So I let them go through a little process. But usually by the end of day three, they're like, okay, yeah, let's get rid of that. It just takes time. I'm a very patient person, but it usually works out.
Yeah. So what is a common question that you get as an organizer when people are, they find out what you do and they think about, oh, you should see my pantry or you should see my closet. What's a question that they might chuckle and then kind of nervously ask you?
It actually is that, like, that is a thing, really. I mean, people are definitely interested in it. Like, like I said, it's new and upcoming. It's on Netflix and whatnot. But yeah, it's kind of like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's actually my business. Here's my card. Here's my website. And it's pretty cool. It's a really good conversation just to, well, I know somebody who actually has mentioned they're stressed out and just things are everywhere. And I'm going to give them your card. I'm like, okay. But some organizers, I mean, they have a full team. It's very profitable for them. They become huge, fly all over the world and organize people's homes. Wow. So, yeah.
Do you have a team or are you doing most of the work yourself?
I do. I have two girls that I have worked with before and they're actually friends of mine. But fortunately, these two girls, one of them is a at-home mom and she's like a good little organizer. I basically have them work with me when I am preparing somebody when they're moving. So we're boxing up their items or unpacking. That's a big job. Otherwise, I do kind of like to work by myself here in this area. There's a lot of pantries and closets and whatnot, kids' rooms. And that's kind of my forte. Bigger picture, I don't know. It just feels like if I don't know you and definitely they don't know you going into their home, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of scary.
It is. Yeah. It looks very personable going into someone's home.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the question you wish people would ask?
Where have you been my whole life? And that's usually where I get like after the process. But yeah, it's just an interesting subject, I think, anyways. And people just like, really? Oh, and then their head starts spinning. But yeah, where have you been my whole life? But it's usually like the outcome that I know I'll get.
Yeah. That is a fun question to hear.
Yeah.
That's cute. So if there's someone out there that is like, I don't know. Where do I start? What can I do? What is an action step? I've got life coaching background. In fact, I took my first training in life coaching just right there in Bothell, Washington, not far from where you grew up.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country. So action steps, if they were like me and they needed to open their mail and go through their things, and that would be hit the pause button and just get it done. But what are some things that you might recommend them as a next step, just to take a step in the right direction to get their place organized or to get a system put in place? What's an easy first step that they could do to get that thing started?
Well, I would say if you're going to be doing this on your own, you've got time, give yourself time and a good amount of space, because you're going to be putting things in piles of like, okay, you've got junk mail here. You don't need that. So you're going to be sorting things into categories. You're going to start with usually the stuff you're not going to keep, get rid of that. The stuff that you are going to keep attached and here some labels. I placard them and I always bring them. That's the first thing I start doing. I usually empty everything out. I'll empty out a full closet. We'll just go through everything piece by piece. I usually have the person touch an item. Does this bring me joy? Do I like it? Or am I don't want this? I haven't worn it 3 months. I still like it. It could be a maybe. So you have like a maybe spot too. And so then, you know, you're kind of getting somewhere. And it slowly, one by one, these piles will all be categorized and then get into subcategories, like putting your shoes over here. You're going through where you keep like all your pills, your medicine cabinet. That's definitely a category, subcategory. So putting them in piles, and you can even use like a notepad and just like, okay, I'm going to keep this here. I'm throwing this here or going to recycle. Just get them into piles and then you slowly just put things together the way you like them, or an organizer can do it for you. But yeah, it's not as hard. It's just the mental part of getting over it. You just got to do it.
And it's time consuming.
And it is. Yeah.
You have to make a mess before you can organize it. You have to pull everything out.
Yes, you do.
It's a process, because then I'll pull something out and then I'll think, well, I don't want to put it back in my closet. So then I need to go put it in the drawer. But then that drawer is disorganized too. And so then I want to stick on task is another thing. So like it's all, there's tangles of every, you know, it's touching everywhere. You say just start with one thing and pick an area.
Absolutely. If people are like, okay, it's usually like the kitchens and the closets and whatnot. I usually like going through the clothes first. But then again, like you said, if you don't want somebody so personable in your bedroom, you can start in something else. And they do usually like to see what you can do, how productive you are. And then they'll go into a larger scale of doing more in their home. But yeah, you just got to bite down and get those things all in one pile. There could be something in your kitchen that you have in your bedroom or your playroom. Well, there's three different rooms where three different things are there. You get that in one pile, and then you're going to coordinate where those items are going to go in one place. So, because I have things too that here are there, and I'm like, oh, let me see where my little tab is. Okay, that goes there. So they're all together. And that just helps. And it speaks a language to the whole family. Usually mom kind of is in charge of the home, but her son or husband just puts stuff here and there. Guess what this says? Towels go here, you know.
Yeah. If we have more than one person in our house, then.
Yes, absolutely.
That just makes things even more convoluted. So how can people get a hold of you, Melissa?
Well, I have my website, melissahamilton@mahaloorganizing.com. That has all my info on there. And then also too, I am on Facebook. Mahalo Organizing is definitely a very rare name. So I'll pop right up on Facebook. I mean, a lot of people that have their own domain name in the organizing business, like Spacewise or Be Organized, or sometimes it's harder. But if you think of Mahalo, which I kind of use the term, will turn your home into a heaven. So Mahalo is like a Viking heaven. And that's kind of how I have my name come up. I'm also on LinkedIn. Melissa Hamilton, Mahalo Organizing. I'm on there. I put little tidbits and DIYs on there, especially on Facebook and LinkedIn. I do have a Pinterest account, but I usually pen stuff that's like really cool, like a neat way to fold a towel or different ways of folding systems and stuff. More personally, what's me is probably my Facebook and LinkedIn page.
Okay. And you work in the Woodlands, Texas, and that's in the north part of town, north part of Houston, and then the surrounding areas around the Woodlands.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually do like a 20-mile radius, but I mean, sometimes I'll go downtown. I've done a couple of jobs out there. That won't be a problem, but there is a lot of work here. So it's nice to get on that 45.
Right. And so do you offer a consultation or anything if someone wanted to reach out to you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do like 3 30-minute phone consultation. I'll even, if people want to video their space, and that way I get more, you know, I go in their home. I'll do like an hour walkthrough, which my rates are normally $75 an hour, but I'm offering this podcast 20% off. So it's $65 an hour. And then I go into basically larger packages where we can get more in depth into your home. But
we could
just call it the probate podcast, and I'll know exactly who your listeners are, and I can definitely help them.
Right. So they just refer to the podcast and then you can honor that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Good deal. Well, thank you so much, Melissa. It's been so much fun. It's always fun to chat with you.
Yes,
but it's
definitely
been really, really helpful. And I think with your experiences and your empathy towards people that are in any organizing situation, but also those that might have a hoarding situation in their family. Right. I think that you bring a lot of value to that place, and you do it with grace and non-judgmental approach. And that's really important to me. And it's what's important to me, who I refer people to and who I promote. And so that's one of the reasons why you're a guest on my show. Thanks. I appreciate you being here. And we will put your information in the show notes so that people that are wanting those quick links, they will have that there. So
awesome.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's all I have for now. New episodes of the Probate Podcast will come out on Thursdays. I also have a free public support group called Houston Probate Support on Facebook. You don't have to live in the greater Houston area to be a member, but I'd love to have you join me there. I'd love to have you join me on any of these platforms, including this podcast, and I'll share the links of where you can find me in the show notes below. I'm looking forward to us connecting. See you next time, and remember, you matter.